Talking about love, and I seemed appropriate that we start with a story of love. Every Valentine's Day on this Hawaiian College campus, they would put student messages in a campus paper so you could express your love for someone else on campus. So this one year, a young man decided he was going to opt out and take his girlfriend out for a very special dinner, which he did. At the dinner, he had roses on the table to surprise her. They had a great time. When they got back and they were in the out there in the student union, they were looking through the paper, and she was flicking through the pages to see who wrote what to what. And she was wondering, possibly, did her boyfriend also give her a special message in the campus newspaper? She got to the last page and there it was. She thought what he wrote. Here's what he wrote. "Bonnie, what are you looking here for? Aren't dinner and flowers enough? Love, Scott." I'll tell you what, interestingly enough, is love not enough? We're going to ask that, answer that in a moment. Peter's letter that we've been looking at throughout this time is a letter addressed to us. Some people may say the Bible is old and has nothing to do with the modern day time. In reality, that's about as far from the truth it could possibly be, because the Bible is alive. And it's meant for not only the day and time in which it was originally written, but for us in our modern day times. Peter wrote this letter to a church that was beginning to go underground as a result of the persecution. A church that had been labeled bad by society. Peter wrote this to a church that was feeling oppressed because no longer were they considered part of the dominant culture. They were considered a subculture of the culture itself. So think about for a moment, what would Peter ask for us to do as Christians? Here's what's not in the letter. Peter does not ask for armed revolt to turn over society. Peter does not ask for revenge for those who hurt Christians. Peter does not ask that if you perceive pain, you give pain. He doesn't ask for that either. Peter does not ask for us to reach out and hurt those who hurt us. Instead, what Peter does is asked that we respond differently than what's come our way. Peter asks us to live higher with a greater set of tools than the tools of hate and revenge. He asks us to act like Jesus Christ. Last week, we looked at, what does this mean? How are we to live? And Peter gave us a set of incredible thoughts. We're to, as best we can, live in harmonious nature with each other. We're to be humble and merciful. We're to show kindness and be sympathetic. In this section that I read earlier, Peter now gives us the greatest of all tools. The ones that I mentioned are all attitudes. They come out of this one. He asks us to use the tool of love. He begins this section with a "since therefore." Here's our two great words. Both of them mean all that discussion has come before. All that he's built on before, now here's the culminating thought. Here is what we're to look for. You have to build, you have to listen as he builds the case. And now here's what we actually focus on. What is he telling us? Here's his conclusion. Love is that powerful. Love is the tool that we can use to overcome our fear. Love is the item in which we can use to restrain our disdain and our hate for another. Love is that which can cure someone who doesn't love. It can cure hate. In fact, Peter mentions that love can even overcome sin. That was in that section there as well. Sin here, the Greek word for it, is humarte, which means you miss the mark. So it's like you're at a shooting range with your bow and arrow, and you pull that bow back, and you let go of the arrow, and you miss the mark. In fact, the word here, actually, you missed the target. You're so far off. In And so the idea here is that sin moves us away from who God created us to be. Sin moves us away from the fact that we're made in God's image, made according to God's likeness. When this word for sin is used, literally it means that we are not who God created us to be. We've missed the mark. Now here, it's talking about sin both ways. We sometimes only think of sin one way, the sins we've committed, what we've done. And indeed it's true, the love of God overcomes that sin. The love of God we find in the cross that Jesus showed to us as he died on the cross and rose from the grave. His love is so powerful, our sins washed away. When we give our sin to God through Christ, it's gone. And it's as far as you can get from the east, from the west. It separates sin from us as far away as you can get. That's one way sin over, or love overcomes sin. But another way is what it has been impacted on us. The sin another person does that hurts us. You realize in this world today, there's much of that. In every generation it exists, that someone's sin hurts us. Peter gives us a list of sins. Well, there's many lists in the Bible, but here's one he lifts up for us. And he says, don't live as the Gentiles. And that word for Gentiles means like nation. Don't live as someone who's not a Jew, who's not a Christ follower. And so every time we see the word Gentile in this respect, it means someone who doesn't know God. It's someone who's far from God. It's not a healthy term. Okay? And so what Peter's lifting up is when these folks and their sin land on you, what do you do about it? Is love great enough to deal with those sins as well that bring bitterness? Pain. Is love great enough that the impact of another person in our life can help us be healthy and whole? Peter's answer, you heard it. The answer is yes. The love of Christ covers even these sins. Because we're able now to forgive. We're able to now live a different way. That those who have hurt us, we don't have to hurt them. It brings healing into our heart when we give the hurt to God. Sadly at times, we must all admit, the hurt of another can define us. It can define us as a victim. Always as someone's hurt me, that's who I am. Or it can define us, and we have a chip on our shoulder. So every time something looks like that, we attack. It can define us. We carry like a weight all the time. The sin of another, the hurt of another, and it drags us down. Let me give you an example. I don't know if you've noticed, but I'm blessed with an Italian feature. If you can't see it, you need to open your eyes, because it sits right here. Okay? Now, when I was younger, I have a big nose. Now, I'll just say that. When I was younger, I weighed a lot less. I weighed actually 40 pounds less when I was newly married. In my first youth group, interestingly enough, at that youth group, there was a young man who decided that this was something he had to focus on. And I thought, of all the features in this world, why this? But he had to. And so I carried this burden. And kind of that teasing kind of bothered me. So I gave it to God. I gave to God my hurt. I didn't want it to define me. Interestingly enough, God then spoke. And God touched me with anxious. How do I deal with this? So the next time this young man decided he was going to address my family trade, my father was Italian, so I was blessed with this, I said, oh yeah, I look like my dad. And then the next time he addressed it, I said, you know, I smell better because of this. A lot more air goes through. Next time he addressed it, I said, I'd arrive in the room before you ever do. And it's amazing, after about a couple times, he quit joking me about it. And his sin of teasing, almost like a bullying, went away. And I was like, I can accept this, who I am. It helped then that I gained a lot more weight, so it does not quite so prominent. But it's interesting how God worked through that. That kindness, the kindness that I share, made a difference. And it literally covered the sin of another. Also, the fact that I could forgive, this is a God trait. This is what God's saying, that love does cover. Now, I want to say that this isn't just what we look at in the Christian realm, where someone impacts us with their sin and we forgive them. Secular people have acknowledged this. Psychology Today of 2002 said this about love, the power of love. It says, love is as critical for your mind and body as oxygen. It is not negotiable. The more connected you are, the healthier you will be both physically and emotionally. The less connected you are to another in love, the more you are at risk. Then the quote continues, it's true that the less love you have, the more depression you're likely to experience in your life. Love is probably the best antidepressant there is, because one of the most common sources of depression is feeling unloved. A secular organization article acknowledged what we say and said for centuries, love is that powerful. Love is that strong. Love is meant not only for us and our benefit, but for the benefit of the world as we learn to love not only ourselves, but love one another. Let's look at what sin does, because it's important for us to acknowledge that so that we then can address that with our love. Sin separates. That's the first thing sin does. It separates humans out. If you don't know that, watch any news station and you'll see it. Sin has separated us out. Sin also destroys. The goal of sin is to destroy that which is good. And that which is healthy, our body, sometimes we destroy it in sin. That relationship we have, we destroy it in sin. Sin destroys. Sin also takes that which is not theirs to take. In other words, it takes our joy away because we want that over there. It takes our security away because we're afraid of this moment. Sin does that. Sin also demeans. It drags us down. And allows us to think that we are not God's good creation. Because after all, we've done this and done that and done this and done that, and we've not worshipped the Almighty God. And the last thing I'll lift up to you is sin distracts. We're looking at that item instead of looking at the Almighty God. We want what we want, and we think it'd be cool if we had it, and you know what it does? It distracts us from serving God and serving one another. The Apostle Peter then says, how do you address this? Love covers all of that. In other words, love is able to have us deal with it. And the reason for that is when we bring love into our lives, sin looks less appealing because love is that great. So let's look at the ones I just brought up. Sin separates. You know what love does? Love unites. And we see in our world today, whenever people say, let's talk, let's sit, let's have some coffee, or tea in my respect, okay? It's amazing that joins together. Sin does destroy. But you know what love does? Love goes out and builds up. That's how we have homes, because we love one another, we build our homes. Sin takes away. Love restores. You know, that's that amazing grace moment. Once, what was once lost is now found. That's what love does. It brings back. Sin demeans. It makes us think we're not worthy. The love of the cross allows us to know we are worthy. That God has sent Jesus for us on an incredible mission, but also an incredible task to die for our sins. Love restores our value. And finally, sin distracts. You know what love does? It focuses us. So when we're thinking, what would Jesus do? How would Jesus respond in this moment? We're not distracted by sin. We're not connected to the Almighty God. And instead of looking at sin and how can I hurt another person, we're like, God, how can I heal? It's easy to tear down. But it's much more fun to build up. It's much more satisfying when we build up. So we compare sin versus love. Which one looks better? Always love. Hey, in these days and times, I've done a lot more of our object lessons. And so when I left in earlier, when I left, I forgot my object for today. You know, it's interesting. I do climbing. I've done a lot of climbing. And when I look at my face in the mirror, I oftentimes think, wow, the white of my eyes are really white, until it's compared against something that's really white. So an amazing thing about this is that when we compare the response of the world to something that is the response of the world to something that's perfect, it's amazing how it doesn't look as perfect. So when we look at Jesus and say, wow, Jesus, I love what you've done for me. Let's take that out into the world. Because the world's response has not unified us. The world's response has not brought us together. Now, the reason why I did this is because the clown light demonstrates that what I think is perfect, which are the white of my eyes, they're not really white. And as you leave today, I want you to see that contrast. That's why Peter said love covers all. It covers all of our sins, mine and the sins that someone tried to shove on for me. And that's what this illustration is, to highlight the fact that when we compare ourselves to the most perfect, we now know how to act. Let's not compare ourselves to what this person did, or that person did, or this person wrote. Let's compare what Jesus does. And when we do that, there's no comparison. Love does win out. Love covers all. Let's go to God in prayer. Thank you, wonderful God, for the life that you've given to us, for the amazing gift of love that we share together. And may that love, may we realize that's the purest way to live, that we'll live according to the name of Jesus, to the person of Jesus, to the actions of Jesus, where to live love. Thank you for the way our lives have been touched by you. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.